What's going on, podcast listeners? Neil here for another episode of The Freedom Formula. Here with my boy, David Lahav. You might recognize the name if you are an OG podcast listener. David used to be the host of the podcast, but went off to do a lot of cool stuff we're going to talk about right now. But David, happy to have you back on, man.
It's a pleasure to be here. So much fun and so much fun to see what happened over the last couple of years or so with this incredible podcast, man.
We rebranded, got so much better right when you left. People started listening. It's been great.
I listened to a few episodes before just to like, you know, check out what's going on, and I was just mind blown. This is incredible, man.
I was gonna say, dude, I think your story is actually perfect for what we're talking about here. And we've talked about it a lot before, but and for everyone listening who might not know who David is, David used to have a locksmith company. They were doing $4 million in revenue. He's the owner of Made This Denver, one of our first franchisees. He's rolled up 16 companies, and he sold pretty much everything to be a meditation teacher. You might be hearing that thinking like, what? That's crazy. Like, why would someone do that? And I think it's because David found his own version of purpose, his own version of freedom. And I kind of want to dive into that mindset that someone, David, I definitely admire your mindset. And I think it's very different from a lot of the hustle and grind entrepreneur type of content we're fed. So anyways, dude, I'm just pumped you're here and excited to have this conversation with you.
Me too. And hopefully at the end of the episode, it's going to look a little bit less crazy at why I did that.
So Debbie, walk me through, like, we don't have to start at the beginning when you got into entrepreneurship, but I'm curious on like, what was your mental frame of why you got into business and entrepreneurship? And can you just walk through the journey of how you eventually acquired companies and then eventually just like, how did you even come up with the idea of pivoting and going to something completely different? So yeah, maybe walk me through first how you even got started in entrepreneurship and why.
Yeah, sure. So I was always curious about entrepreneurship and was one of those kindergarten kids who sold candy to their peers and got busted by the by the kindergarten teachers. And so, you know, it was natural for me growing up in Israel, then moving to the US and going to school. I was already playing with starting businesses and digital marketing and things like that. And I think maybe having a very intense military service in Israel where I would work 18 hours a day kind of primed me to, okay, you can go to school and you can start a business at the same time. And you're in less than 18 hours a day. I just tried a bunch of different things and the first 10 things failed. Whatever that was, hotel reviews, affiliate stuff online, mobile phone repair business. And then one thing kind of got steam off the bat, which was the locksmith company. So local service.
Remote local business.
Back in, around 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. Just putting up a website, Google listing, and starting to get calls. So since that picked up, I continued growing it and ended up, as part of the growth, doing some of it organically, and then also starting to do acquisitions in order to grow it further.
Yeah. And David, when that started to grow the launch for the company, what was the goal? Was it just like, I want to make the most amount of money because of what, like, for what reason? Like, what was your personal goal when you started that company, started to grow it?
Yeah, I think the goal is financial freedom and lifestyle freedom. So even though it was a local locksmith business, the idea was, how can I still be location independent? How can I do this while in Latin America or Europe or Bali? So a lot of it has been just to be able to live an amazing life and, you know, live the dream, whatever the dream is, because it keeps evolving. But, you know, at first is, I don't want to have a job. How can I make enough money to support myself? Then how can I do that and have an amazing lifestyle? And then how can I start doing a lot of other things in life, like the meditation, which we'll touch at some point. But it's always been about, like, what is the dream? And then not only is it fun to go on this process of starting a business and making enough money, not having a 9-to-5, being able to travel the world. But yeah, just like about freedom, having time, being able to do whatever it is that you want to do. That's your dream. Yeah.
Do you think you achieved that?
I do.
And oftentimes in business, I feel like when people reach a certain milestone, the goalpost moves. right? You're like, hey, I reached $1 million. That was my original goal. Cool. Now I'm going to go for 2 million. Now I'm going to go for another acquisition. Now I'm going to keep going. Now I'm going to make more money before I feel fully settled. And like most times there's no plateau where you're like, I finally made it. Now I can go leave and be a meditation tutor. Just like the goalposts always move. How was that process for you? Did you actually achieve a certain point and say, I feel internally fulfilled or not?
Yeah, I think this is where the meditation or having a little bit more of a spiritual learning and growth happening at the same time really helped. Because then you recognize, because the goal keeps moving, initially, you know, I don't want to have a 9-to-5. Then I need to hit 1 million in revenue or this much in net. And then once you reach those things, you thought, oh, I'm going to reach this place and then I'm going to be happy. But what you experience is, doesn't matter what it is that you achieve, you normalize that, you go back to the baseline, and now you're going to change something else, thinking that that's going to make you happy. So I kind of realized, oh, I can stay on this track for many, many more decades and just keep growing the goals and the amounts of money and number of businesses and all those things. Or I can start looking at what things make you happy and fulfilled in life and divert a little bit more attention to that. And then the money is really the idea is, how can it finance that? How can it help me meet my needs and my lifestyle that I want?
Dude, that's such a value bomb. Did you feel that internally, that you'd reach a new plateau and then that would be the new normal, and that feeling of comfort that I feel accomplished would just disappear? Was that what was happening?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's very easy to think, okay, when I can quit my 9-to-5, I'll be happy. But then you realize, oh, I quit my 9-to-5, I start a business. Now I have a different set of problems that are making me stressed. And then you think, okay, once the business grows and I'm at X amount of revenue, but every time you grow, you kind of change your problems. The old problems no longer bother you, but you have new problems that are bothering you. Yeah.
And like, how does someone solve that though? Like, you know, it's almost like humans are going to have problems no matter what, right? Can you actually solve it? Is it just a, like, I guess the question is, how do you feel comfortable with reaching a certain level and feeling accomplished, right? How do you not shift to be like, now I want more, now I want more, and that, like, be on the hamster wheel fully?
Yeah. So I think it's a really key part of when you become an importer of happiness versus an exporter of happiness. So what society teaches us is to try and import happiness and fulfillment through material goods, through relationships, through achieving a certain status or experience. And so you put a goal, you start by saying, I'm unhappy. And then when I reach X amount of money, then I'm going to be happy. And as we just said, you know, you can try that a few times and it just, there's no lasting happiness there.
Yep.
But when you become an exporter of happiness, in my case, it was through meditation, experiencing without having to do anything in the outside world, experiencing in the inside world, gradually more happiness, more fulfillment, just by closing the eyes and doing a really simple, effortless technique.
Yeah.
And then you open the eyes, you're already fulfilled. And now the question is, how can I make a bigger impact in the world? How can I have fun? And then your goals continue growing anyway, because that's what we're designed to do. We're designed to continue growing and learning and evolving. But the happiness isn't dependent on it. If things go your way, you're happy. Things don't go your way, you also very fast go back to the place of happiness.
I think a common argument against that would be, if I'm happy internally, I have no drive. Why would I want to accomplish stuff? Why would I make money for my family? Like, I have no drive to do that anymore. What would your response be?
My response would be that it's a little bit of misunderstanding how the process truly works. Because what we've been taught is either you have the materialistic Western way, or you have the monk Eastern way.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, a misconception, because there is a middle way. And the middle way is, and this was the case thousands of years ago, before the whole monk thing happened, was that everyone had a spiritual practice. Everyone had this connection to techniques that help you feel better and be more connected and be more present. And then you still had a wife and kids and family and work. And those the two things work together. So what actually happens is if you're happier, less stressed, have more energy, have more mental clarity, you can actually achieve much more than when you're tired, stressed, worried.
They're not mutually, it's not this or this. It's, you could actually do both at the same time. And in fact, it, I think what you're saying is it will help you move faster.
Exactly. Instead of being a block, it will help you move faster.
Yeah.
And it's also important to, in this process, you get really clear on what it is actually I'm trying to accomplish. Because sometimes, and in some ways, this is a little bit of my case, where what it is you're really passionate about. For me, I'm now super passionate about helping people go through this process and learn this really simple technique that can transform their lives. Mm-hmm. But what paid for it was the businesses. What paid for it was the entrepreneurship and starting businesses, selling businesses. So that becomes a funding mechanism for the purpose. Those things don't always have to be together.
It's not. Interesting. So do you pretend, David, you're 22 and you're talking to yourself. And at that point, you're not doing Vedic meditation. You're just, you know, you're just being you. What if you started Vedic meditation at the time? Do you think at that point you would never have, I guess kind of goes back to the other question. If you did it so earlier, do you think you'd even care to do business and have this funding mechanism? Or do you feel like now that you've done these things, you're like, I feel accomplished now. Now I have the opportunity to just do this full time. I don't know if that question makes sense. It's like, it's kind of going back to what we said before of...
Yeah. I think if I started, if I had this knowledge at 22, I would probably do very much of the same, but more successfully with less stress.
You'd still do business.
Maybe,
then.
But maybe reach the point where I was able to be more successful earlier on, and then I can make the transition to focus more on this purpose piece.
So, interesting. So, you actually, even in your mind, you still are saying, making the money is still necessary. I'm still going to do
entrepreneurship. It's absolutely necessary. We live in this Western world. You have to pay rent. You have to eat. You have to drive something. And, you know, you want to have some sort of, you know, tolerably comfortable life.
Yep.
Like, we don't need to suffer. It's not a part of the deal.
Yep.
So you have to have some sort of funding mechanism. Absolutely. So the more efficient you are at being successful with the funding piece, you have more time, energy, resources for whatever else you're passionate and purposeful about.
Yeah. It's interesting because like I actually like the way you describe it where you could kind of do both at the same time. I think a lot of people go at it and say, when I reach this milestone, then I could finally quit and relax and be at the beach and I'll feel accomplished. And then because I feel accomplished, now I could focus on meditation. And honestly, I'm saying that because I think that, right? It's almost like even though I know maybe that's not true, I think like,
I'm really curious, Neil. Yeah. What does it look like for you with the purpose and goals? Because I see what you do on the podcast and with all the franchisees with Made This. It's clearly, you know, can be seen that you're operating from a place of, you know, you're so kind, you're so passionate, you're so helpful. It doesn't come from, you know, I just want to make money.
No. Yeah, it doesn't. And I don't know if the way I was thinking about it is the best way of doing it, but part of it is also because you hit certain milestones, I've kind of gotten to the point where you hit a milestone, then I realized it moved. And I'm like, oh, maybe that was a fallacy. Let me hit the next one. Then it moved. And I'm then, like, my goal originally was to get to 20 franchisees. I hit that and I'm like, well, I feel good. Now let me go for 50. And I'm like, what? it always moves. It always moves.
Yeah.
And so then you kind of get to the point where like, I don't, how do I say this? Like, of course, more would be better, but more money isn't going to drastically change my life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it'll set things better for my future family and things like that. But I think it's different if you're not making much and you go from making $1,000 a year to $50,000 a year. That's a big difference. You go from 50 to 100, maybe that's a bigger difference, but not as big as the earlier stages. So I think I've realized incremental gains are not changing my life too much because I actually don't spend that much money anyways. I just like, I live a pretty frugal life to begin with. So I think that realization is making me now be able to focus more on like, oh, let me just do this for the fun of the game. And the output will eventually be more money. But that's the ideal goal. Now, the truth is like, I'm human. I'm still in this very Western world. I'm still very entrepreneurial. So it's still like things aren't going well. I still get down on myself. I really want the outcome. And I think that's the hard part, because then you're almost delaying happiness until you reach a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. Even though I know conceptually, maybe that's not the best way of doing this, it's really hard not to do that. So I think on my end, it's like, still, I'm doing it because it's still really fun. But also the truth is, because there's upside potential, there's potential outcome. And sometimes I do get not content because I'm not reaching the outcome. So that's the truth.
Absolutely. I love that. And it makes so much sense.
David, are you not outcome dependent at all anymore?
I am outcome. You know, I have outcomes that I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do your best to achieve it. And the rest is not up to you. It's like, you know, too much egocentric activity happening. Mm-hmm. When we set a goal, and then if we achieve it or not, we make it so much about ourselves.
Yeah.
But then you look about how we live life. And even right now, you and me sitting here, you think like, oh, I'm Neil, I'm in charge. But actually, while we're sitting here on this interview, you've been taking breaths. Your heart has been pumping. Mm-hmm. You've been blinking. Different nutrients have been going, you know, in different areas. Different bacteria have been fought off. Digestion, if you already had something to eat, and you even haven't even thought about it. Mm-hmm. So there's a much bigger picture at play,
and
something happening in the world that nature drives.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of being I'm the individual against the world, and everything that happens is because of me, this process allows you to say, well, I have an idea, and hopefully it's an idea that's evolutionary for the whole world around me. And if that's the case, then there's actually a lot of support from nature and life for that to happen. So if that's the case, I'm not the author of the idea. I'm more of a tool that's being moved in this bigger plan that's happening. And the nice thing about it is, instead of, you know, being in the water, let's say, you know, equated to surfing, I'm the surfer, I'm going to crush these waves. And, you know, it's all about me. It's more about, ooh, nature has these waves coming. How can I tap into that and ride the waves?
Yeah. Huh. And so, David, walk me through the process of you saying, I'm going to sell everything and go teach Vedic meditation full time. Like, you know, we just talked about money's good. It allows you to live the comfort you want, even though that's not the primary driver of happiness. It's helpful. So why would you say, hey, I'm going to stop all of this stuff and focus on just meditation?
Yeah, so it was a natural process. The first part was that I went to 3 months on site for a training to become a teacher of Vedic meditation. And that's 24/7, almost no access to internet, meditating up to 14 hours a day for a month straight while doing a bunch of other things. So during that time, I was away from the businesses and, you know, just continued to see how I'm much more energized, much more excited, much more delighted whenever I do work that's related to meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the businesses were more like, you know, okay, still love the teams and things, but it was more of a funding mechanism for building the teaching. So it became natural, and, you know, some misalignment with business partners because I became more content than where we were at. And the other business partner wanted to continue growing and expanding and take over the world, which I love. Mm. So I was holding him back. So it was time for me to move out of the way and focus on becoming a full-time meditation teacher, which takes some time and takes some transition. So actually selling the businesses has been helpful in financing all of that with starting the new meditation business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So entrepreneurship and the last 10 years of you doing that was a tool. So now you are able to fully live the passionate life you want. Would that be
And also it's not separate, right? The the previous service businesses helped fund starting the meditation business and getting trained and doing all the retreats and things before becoming a teacher, but also the teacher training and everything. And now it's funding starting up the meditation business and also have the opportunity to put all the entrepreneurial knowledge into meditation.
Yeah.
So again, it's not separate. It's always, you know, all together.
Interesting. During your time in business, can you explain how Vedic meditation actually helped you become a better entrepreneur?
Yeah, for sure. So I think if you look at any person in the world, and let's say you were an alien, right? Mm-hmm. Looking at Earth, you look at the different humans and you don't see so much difference between a person genetically in our mental faculties. You know, okay, mm-hmm. you can have someone who's a genius, but most of the people on Earth, they don't have that much more intelligence than the other person. And even the smartest person on the Earth, you know, he's not 20 times smarter from mm-hmm. those things. He's like maybe 1.5 times, you know, if we look at IQ yep. tests and things like that. So what actually accounts for some people living, you know, beyond your wildest dreams and whatever it is for you, right? It might be like $1 billion or, you know, starting a franchise or whatever that is, right? It's not difference in DNA. It's not difference in how smart you are. It's actually more about the software that you have inside your mind with the belief system that you have, with the limiting beliefs that you have. And the number one thing that hurts that whole process is stress. When we're stressed, our body is in fight or flight mode.
Yep.
And then you can't think very clearly. You're more focused on survival. And then, you know, you're unable to make great choices and be more bold and fearless in your expansion of whatever your dream is. Or even take steps towards your dream. Like if you want to own a franchise and you have a job, it's going to be a lot harder to take that route when you have a lot of stress and fear and anxiety. Whereas, you know, you can see tens of thousands of people who've already done that route, who are not smarter than you or, you know, have any other physical or brain advantage over you. So it's whatever one human can do, any other human can do. And we just need to remove the obstacles for why it's not happening in your life. I've personally tried hundreds of different self-development tools and, you know, books and systems and wake up at 5 a.m. with the miracle morning and the 4-hour body and the 4-hour work and all these different things. And I found that the meditation of doing it 20 minutes twice a day was the number one most efficient thing to help me with my growth goals. Because less stress, more energy, more creativity, feeling better, being able to take bigger risks and make better decisions.
Yeah. I love it, man. And last question I have for you, David. What is your current definition of freedom and has that changed over time?
Yeah. So my current definition of freedom is a lot more internal. And that is freedom from what the majority of people on Earth experience, which is the human condition of going on these cycles of happiness and suffering. So still experiencing all the range of emotions that can happen and are natural to happen, but suffering has been very, very, very minimized through this process, and it's available to anyone. You know, it's not some unique thing. It just has to do with practice and releasing stress from the body.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the highest level of freedom, is no matter what's happening in the outside world, in here, things feel good. You know, overall.
Yeah. And I know I said last question, but I have one that just popped up, which I'm dying to ask. If you already feel content inside, you've sold your businesses, you have, you know, your form of contentment or happiness through meditation, why get involved in business anymore? Is it mental stimulation? Like, why even do this then?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the answer to that is relevancy. Right? I can go and be in a cave and, you know, meditate and feel happy and not do anything, but it's not relevant for other people. If you've learned something, if you're experiencing happiness and joy and have energy and have capabilities, then it's very natural to want to engage with the world. And we talked about the import export. So now it's exporting the fulfillment that's inside through interaction with other people.
Makes sense. David, it's been awesome having you back on, man. Been way too long.
So much fun. Thanks for having me, Neil.
Thanks. And everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on another episode. Take care.